think it's about time for the final bell.
Get it pretty close, didn't it?
All right. Tonight we're going to be studying the prophet Amos and some of the things that he prophesied to Israel. And as we look at the first chapter, we find out several things about Amos. And he was a native of Tekoa, which is a place about 5 miles south of Bethlehem. The city was built on a hill. It overlooked the wilderness of Judea. And where was the wilderness of Judea? Where? Okay, below Jerusalem and west of the Dead Sea. Very good. That's pretty close. That's close enough for what we're talking about. It gives you an idea. It's south, more or less, of where he lived, southwest. He was a herdsman of sheep. You know of anything else he was? He was a prophet, but he also did some other work. He was a gatherer of sycamore trees. We find that over in chapter 7 and verse 14, that he was a gatherer of sycamore trees. Now, what they did with the sycamore trees, I can't tell you. I don't know. But anyway, that was one of the things that's listed that he did besides being a herdsman of sheep.
One of the things about the sycamore fruit was a basic.
Okay.
So it kind of gives you an idea of his status.
Okay, very good. Good point. That he was, it was a fruit that he gathered in that particular culture that he was living in would be in that as a herdsman. They would not be a very affluent type.
The Bible was actually a type of wild fig.
Wild fig. Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. Very good. All right. Good. Good. Thank you for the comments. Amos understood kind of what the history was and the attitudes around Israel and Judah. He knew what that was. This is Tekoa, which is just a little bit south of Bethlehem, and the wilderness was of Judah was right down in here. Gives you an idea about that. God called Amos to go and preach to the kingdom of Israel. Before I go any further, I need to straighten out something that Eric said. He told me, you be sure and straighten this out. And you know when Bob Waldron comes up to you and says, that's not right. Yeah. And he made the statement that Jehu was one of the four generations, and it starts with his descendant. So it wasn't, Jehu was not one of the four generations. Four generations after him. Bob just kind of straightened him out after class. I'm glad I wasn't teaching him. but he did it with all, he was very nice. All right. God used the prophets to convey the message that he wanted presented to the people. And Amos lived during the reign of Jeroboam II. And we find all of this in the first chapter. Also in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, during that same time. He overlapped during that particular time. His work in Israel was 2 years before the earthquake. And that really doesn't help us nail down a particular time because we don't have any record of when the earthquake was. But most scholars feel that it was somewhere between 760 to 755 B.C. that he actually did work in that particular area. In the first two chapters, we find it's God's judgment against other nations around about them. In chapters 3 through 6, the basis for God's judgment and the prophecies against Israel as well included in that particular section. And that 7 through 9, the judgments were inevitable. And we also see some prophetic visions during this particular time as well. The theme of the book is, you might say, is judgment and doom. The Lord announced judgment against various nations around Israel, and we're going to look at those in just a minute. But it gives a list of those nations and cities: Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab. Those were areas right around, and we'll look at that in just a moment. He also turns closer to home, and he condemns Judah because they had rejected the Lord, and their lives had caused them to stray, just as their fathers had strayed from the Lord as well. So these are things that is going to be brought out. Here's a map of the area, and Damascus is in this region right here, just above Galilee and Chinnereth, that area. Gaza, part of the Philistine territory. Tyre, or Tyrus, it's mentioned. Edom, down in this region down below the Dead Sea, was the area of Edom. Ammon, right across from Galilee region. Moab, we know that was the part of the land they had to go around Moab when they came to the when they're wandering through the wilderness. Judah is another one that's talked about, and Israel. These are all ones that he prophesied against. Now, as we look at these different nations, we come to Damascus. And it says that I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why was it? Because they'd done what? What does it say? Threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. I looked all over, and I could not find where that actually happened. But I'm assuming that it did. But I looked through all the concordance I could find. I couldn't find where they did that. But we take this at its word. In verse 3, it speaks of that actually happening. Because he said, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. And we know that several of these particular nations and cities, it talks about Edom and Gilead and those kind of things. So we kind of keep those in mind as we go through these. But you'll notice Edom quite a bit. Gaza, which would be what nation? Philistines, okay? Very good. And he will not turn away the punishment from them, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them to Edom. And so we know that happened, and that there was a fire coming because of it, and it would devour their places over there. Tyrus, or Tyre, we looked at, said he would not turn away the punishment from them, because you delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. You notice Edom is mentioned several times in this. And because they remembered not their brotherly covenant. How were they brothers? Jacob and Esau. Very good. That's right. And we find that in verse 9. But he goes on to say in verse 10 that I'll send a fire upon the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4 I'll not turn away. And we come to Edom next. Excuse me. And it says, because you pursued your brother with sword, and did cast off all pity, and your anger did tear perpetually, and kept his wrath forever. What's it speaking of there, Carl? What do you think of when you see that? Pursue your brother with a sword. When did that happen? You remember? No. Okay.
I have some thoughts.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think
absolutely. I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. The way we treat our brothers and our brethren, how we treat them, and today is very definite, good for us to look at. But he kept his wrath forever. Remember that Edom. What was it? What does it mean they kept their wrath? Rob? Okay, so they had to pass by Edom, didn't they? Remember? Okay, very good. And they would not let them go through their land. They kept all this in their hearts against them. All right, Ammon says, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because you have ripped up the women with child of Gilead. You might enlarge your borders. So they killed the women and they cut them open, evidently. Those who were expecting children. We learn that in verse 13 of chapter 1. And God was very displeased with this kind of action. Moab, he was not going to turn away punishment because you burned the bones of the kings of Edom into lime. So they were evidently very brutal towards the people of the kings of Edom at some point in time. So God's message was he would send fire upon Judah as well and consume the palaces of Jerusalem. I'm sorry. So we want to keep that in mind as well, that he's not only looking to nations around about, but it was as well he was looking at his people, the ones in Judah. And Israel is next on God's list, and that he was going to consume them. And this was because of her sins, social injustice that was taking place. They were forsaking Jehovah. They had idolatry with sacred fornication, realistic, formalistic worship. They had all kinds of things that was against what God wanted them to do. And as we look further, he gives a little bit more about Judah. He said, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because you have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and your lies caused them to err after which your fathers have walked. So they not only despised the law, but they didn't keep his commandments. And of course we know this for a fact. And God finally has all he's going to take. And it goes on to tell them more about Israel. He'll not turn away punishment from them, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. You think about how hideous that would be, you know, to do. That pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name. Some things that we just don't think about happening in among God's people. And yet, as we look at things today that's happening with God's people, we know that some things very similar to some of these things are taking place today. Maybe not exactly the same, but they are doing things that are against God's will. And it doesn't matter if it's something great or something little. If it's wrong, it's wrong in God's sight. God would not turn away their punishment because of what they were doing. And he had done so much for Israel. And he goes into what all he had done for Israel. He had destroyed the Amorites. And when did that take place? You remember? When they first came into the land, or just before they crossed, actually before they crossed Jordan, they destroyed the Amorites. And they brought them out of Egypt, God did. He led them through the wilderness. What all did he do for them in the wilderness? Their clothing didn't wear out.
Their food, their water.
What else? Their shoes didn't wear out. So there's a lot of things God did for his people during that particular time that they seem to have forgotten. He raised up prophets and Nazarites from their own children and all of this, and yet they despised the Lord in their actions. They had forbidden the prophets to prophesy. They said, "We don't want to hear it." So they told the prophets, you know, "No, prophets, don't prophesy here." The Nazarites, they gave them wine. What's wrong with that?
Violates their vow.
Violates their vow. That's right. Exactly right. Judgment could not be avoided. Now, Israel has sinned to the fullest. God, as we would say, has had it up to here. And He's just not going to take any more. He couldn't wait any longer. They've just to the point. No matter how fast or how strong the army, it would flee. It would flee naked, and told them that they would be pressed down as a cart that was loaded into the ground, you might say, and that you will not escape. God was determined that He's had all He's going to take, and they're going to receive the consequences at this time. As we look at the basis for judgment, God blessed Israel and Judah above any other nation. They were His people. And we need to keep that in mind, being His people today. He blesses us. And sometimes we do not look at it like that as we are blessed of God. Yet, we have a great blessing from Him, being His children. They had, you might say, more of a responsibility to worship Him, to obey Him, and yet the whole time that they were, the whole time they, when they came into the land of, into the promised land, what were they doing?
Murmuring and complaining.
Murmuring, complaining. What else? Serving idols the whole time. They brought them with them out of Egypt, and they're still serving them. They didn't fulfill their responsibility. So God was going to punish their iniquities. Amos asked a question pertaining to judgment. Shall two walk together unless they agree? And, you know, if two people cannot walk together, if they don't agree with one another, I mean, they're going to be pulling apart, even today. If you don't see eye to eye with someone, you're going to be pulling apart. And that's what happened here. And he asked the question, will a lion roar before he sights his prey? He's asking him kind of a rhetorical question, you know, but, you know, if he doesn't see his prey out there, is he going to roar and scare it away? No, he's not. He's asking questions that the answer is really, he's pretty obvious. Can a bird be caught in a snare with no net? The Lord has revealed His plan for destruction to His prophets. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. And let's read that, Tracy. Read that for us. Amos 3, verse 7.
Truly, the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals the secret to servants, the prophets.
Okay. So the Lord's not going to do anything. He's going to reveal this to His servants, the prophets, what He's going to do and the destruction He's going to do to those people. Who can refrain from telling it? And God urged His people to return to Him. He did that numerous times, as we've read about even back before this. And they've ignored His plea. They're just one ear and out the other, you might say. Now God is warning of the destruction, which they continue to ignore. They don't believe it's going to happen. Why would they not believe it?
Okay, I mean, they're in a very time of prosperity.
Okay. Okay, who would be telling them that, you know, everything's all right?
The false prophets.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, and that's who they're worshiping now. That's who they're taken for their gods. Call Ashdod and Egypt to witness against Israel, because they're no better than the heathen now. They've done things just as bad as Ashdod and Egypt, and God is going to bring them in as a witness. They do not know how to do right anymore. So when you get to that point, you don't know how to do what's right. You've just about lost everything. Does that happen today? People get to the point where they just don't know how to do right. You get to the point where you just put it out of your mind, right? And you just go on and do what you want to do. And a lot of people, even today, do that. They don't consider what God wants to do, wants us to do. God said, "I'm sending an adversary who will pull down your forts. Your palaces will be plundered." That's in verse 11 of chapter 3. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled." He's going to take care of all the things that they have built, and their sealed houses and all those kind of things. He says that "I will bring Jacob the consequences of his evil." All the things that they've done, he's going to destroy their winter house, their summer house. What's that talking about? That place is down on the river. We kind of think of that today, don't we? Got places down on the river or whatever. They had their fine houses, one for the winter, one for the summer. And those that were, they were decorated in luxury with ivory, those kind of things. It doesn't matter to God. God can take you down regardless of where you are as far as ability. God had to chastise them to try to awaken them to repentance, but nothing helped. Everything God said, they wasn't even listening to. The Creator, the all-knowing God, will come against them. And they're going to find this out, but it's going to be too late for them. He says, "Hear the message, you cows of Bashan, who live in the mountains of Samaria." Who are the cows of Bashan he's talking about? The women. Yeah, the women who live in that particular region. "Those who crush the poor and say to your husband," bring me another drink. You picture a lady who was laid back and, you know, "Hey, bring me something else, you know, bring me another drink." We hear of those kind of people even today in our time frame that have had everything given to them, you might say. "The day will come when you will be taken away with hooks." That sounds kind of gory, but those kind of things happen. I mean, when they led them away captive, a lot of times they would use hooks and hook into their flesh to carry them away.
Fred, yes. James says, "You say to your husband, bring wine, let us drink."
Okay.
"Let us drink."
Yeah, bring wine, let us drink. Yeah, let us be merry, more or less. Okay, very good. God says, "I caused famine, but you still didn't turn to me. And I gave you a drought, but you returned not." So these things God has done, and it didn't do any good. He struck them with blight and locusts. He sent disease, such as were in Egypt, like the plagues. All these things God did that the people might return to Him, but they did not return to Him. He even caused the young men to be slain. And of course we know when that happened in Egypt, you know, they was ready to send the people out. But these people didn't bat an eye. Said, "I have overthrown certain cities as I did Sodom and Gomorrah, but you repented not." So this fire that he's talking about that he's sending, like Sodom and Gomorrah, are going to burn those cities, and yet they still didn't repent. And now He plans to deal with Israel. They've gone so far, and he tells them to prepare to meet your God. It's coming. So be prepared. I've had it all I'm going to take, so you be prepared. As Amos 5 and 6, there's a cry from Jehovah through his prophets to hear the message of lamentation, O Israel. They're crying out to get them to repent. And nothing was happening. Nothing was helping. They were not listening. Yeah, they tell them to seek Jehovah and you will live. Even give them the reason for it. And they still didn't listen. Do not seek idols of Bethel, Gilgal, Beersheba. Don't look to your idols. But look to God. And they did not seek Jehovah, or he will break out like fire in the house of Joseph. He tells them that. And you are the people who hate those who reprove you in the gates. You're the people that are terrible in your actions and what you're doing. And God is upset with them. So you've trampled the poor. You extorted his wheat. You've taken things from people that you shouldn't have. We're to help the poor, those who are in need. And we need to keep that in mind today, people who are in need. What are we told about our brethren, helping them? Okay. That was a very good point there. If you help others, help other Christians, and you're helping Christ. And if you don't help them, then you're not doing what you should. Exactly right. And we need to keep that in mind today. It goes on to say that you will not live in fine houses that you built. They're going to all be destroyed. And we know through history that did take place. You will not drink the wine from your vineyards. These are some vineyards, you know, when they first went into the land. They drank and ate of the land, and they didn't plant. And yet they received all of that from the Lord. And now all of it's going to be taken away. I know every one of your transgressions. Therefore seek good, not evil. Hate evil and love the good. Today, God knows our transgressions. He knows all of them. We can't hide from Him. You know, Jonah tried to do that. He tried to run away from God, and it couldn't be done. God knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what had happened, what he did, and where he was going. We find that there was a chance the Lord would show kindness to them, but rather than kindness, he winds up, woes are placed against all classes of the society in Israel. I hate and abhor your feast. The feast that they observed, what were they for? It was supposed to be to worship, wasn't it? To worship God. What are some of the feasts that they observed? Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, Day of Atonement, In Gathering, more. Think of some other feasts they had. But these were feasts that how did they abhor? Why would God abhor those feasts? Because what? Say it again.
Their lives, their hearts.
Their hearts were not right. Well, what about today? What about when we worship? Does God look upon our heart? Does He know what we're thinking while we're worshiping Him? Absolutely. What if we've got some that's sitting in the back of the auditorium texting here in service, or you know, whatever it might be? Are we thinking about God and worshiping Him and those kind of things? No, we're not. And it's looked at sometimes like, well, you know, let me alone. Well, that's what these people were saying. Don't prophesy to us. We don't want to hear it. But that's very important today, just like it was back then, for God to accept our worship.
Well, the first one we talked about is those, some were saying they were desiring what they had for. But God is saying is, no, you shouldn't, well, this is what you're going to get.
Right.
it goes down to some, what they were showing outwardly.
Knew the inside part of them. That's right. So, and that's the same thing that happens today. We can show outwardly, you know, and be internally not worshiping God. So that can happen today as well. You've not worshiped me from the days of the wandering, we're told, when they were wandering in the wilderness. You've served your images, which you made yourself. You'll go down into captivity beyond Damascus. Where is he speaking of? Where are they going to go into captivity? Syria. Okay. Very good. Woe to those who are at ease and those who think they have it made in the mountains. You think you're going to be safe. People are not going to bother me. I'm all right. But that's not true. I will raise up a nation, O Israel, to afflict you. And that nation would be Assyria that's going to come against them in the very near future. God shows Amos some visions, destruction pending against Israel. The first one was a swarm of locusts, and we find that in chapter 4. In verse 9, let's look at that. Chapter 4, verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew in your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees, your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. I think that's what it's speaking of, the locusts at that point. Yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. He goes on to say that he sent pestilence and other things. And Amos prayed to God. The land can't stand this, O God. So don't do this. And so what does God do? He says, okay, I'll refrain from doing it. So the next thing he does, the second one, he was a fire to destroy the land. He speaks of, and Amos prayed, please stop. You know, how can Jacob stand such a thing as this? And, of course, God agrees as well, and so he does not send the fire as well. He sent disease. He caused the young men to be slain. Chapter 4 and verse 10. He's overthrown certain of the cities as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, that would be with, like fire he's talking about here. And God also refrained at that particular time. The third one, God shows Amos a wall that was leaning. And he had Amos to measure it with a plumb line. What do you do with a plumb line? All right, you hang it top to bottom, and you see if it's exactly straight up and down, more or less. And what was he trying to show these people? How far away they had actually gotten from the Lord. And, you know, today it kind of lets us think, you know, if we could put a plumb line from here down on each of us, you know, How far away are we from worshiping the true God? And God was showing Amos how far that Israel had actually drifted from him. And God said, I will not pass them by again. I've had all I'm going to take. And this particular time, what did Amos do? He didn't come back and say, you know, no, don't do this. No, Amos knew that they done got to the point where he was not going to forgive this. And today even, you know, if we get to the point, at a certain point in our lives, is God going to pass us by? Think he will? You don't think he will? Will he get to the point where, you know, he'll just give us over to evil? Okay. All right. You think of anything else?
Was it Paul that shook the dust off his feet?
Okay. He went to a place, and if they didn't accept him, he shook the dust off his feet and left. God can take just so much today, just like he did back then. So, you know, when we have an opportunity to obey or not to obey, you know, we need to obey what God said and to adhere to what His teachings. Amos didn't plead for Israel this time, and he could tell why judgment was inevitable against Israel. They had just gone extremely too far at this particular time, and the destruction was imminent and was going to take place. The message from Amaziah, the prophet of the golden calves at Bethel, and how tried to stop Amos, this prophet came to him and told him to do what? You remember what the prophet there told him? The idolatrous prophet. What did he tell him? Don't prophesy here. You go back to your place. Back down to Judah. You go down there. We don't want to hear it. And so he told Jeroboam about it, and that Amos was causing trouble. And so he told him to go back to Judah to do his prophesying. Amos tells him, here's what's going to happen to you. Your wife is going to be a harlot in the city. Your sons and your daughters, they're going to die by the sword. And you will die in an alien land. And Israel will be led captive. That was the prophecy that Amos gave to this Amaziah, the prophet of the golden calves. The Lord shows Amos a basket of ripe summer fruit. And this is pretty well telling him that it's ripe. It's to the point where, you know, it's not going to be a return. It's not going to get any better. This fruit is ripe. It's ready to rot. And it's ready for the picking if we don't get it. I said, I won't spare them any longer. Some songs of the palace will be wailing. There will be many dead bodies, and they will be cast out in silence. The nations is ripe for plucking. The people had rejected his word from the time he began speaking to them, and now he would cease to speak. I will send a famine in the land, but not of bread, of thirst, but of hearing the words of Jehovah. There's going to be a time when they're going to look to find the word of Jehovah, and they're not going to find it. The people will wander all over seeking to find the word of Jehovah. They're not going to find it because he's not going to give it to them. Amos said, I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the pillars of the temple and break them in pieces on the heads of all of them. And the rest I will slay with a sword. If they dig to Sheol, I will take hold of them. If they climb to the heavens, they climb the mountains or whatever, I'll bring them down. No matter where they go, I'll command the sword and it will slay them. You are as the Ethiopians to me, O children of Israel. His eyes are upon you to destroy you from the face of the earth. He will not completely destroy Jacob, however. Why? Why would he not destroy Jacob? The seed promise. Exactly right. Israel will be sifted like a grain among all nations. All sinners of my people will die by the sword. At the close of Amos, there's a ray of hope. The remnant's going to return. The tabernacle of David will be rebuilt. And Amos could see the remnant of all men and nations that bear the name Jehovah would become a part of that house. James quotes it in Acts 15, 16, 17 that it would about the Gentiles would be accepted in the house of God. Alright. That's it. Thank y'all for your comments tonight. A whole lot of stuff go through.
That's a lot for one class.